Corbin Hilty, Internal Bleeding, Episode 6. Hey, this is the author. I just wanted to remind you that this podcast is aimed at mature audiences only. The phone rang, but there was no answer. Dan never took the phone anywhere he needed it. He came back from the gas station's store with two cases of beer. Just as he sat down, the phone set off a notification that he had a new voicemail. Dan picked up the phone and gave the message a listening to.
You have one unheard message. First unheard message from
Sarah Romano.
Sent at 4:35 p.m.
Hey Dan, it's Sarah. I need you to come back ASAP. I think I know where David was being held. We need to be sure before we do anything.
End of message.
Dan sighed, putting the massive Ford F-350 into reverse. He didn't really want to go back to the cabin. He knew what the news would be. Dan was almost certain that he wouldn't like it, though. Things were about to escalate, and fast. Sarah and David were sitting in the chairs, both sipping on hot cider. Dan pushed open the door with his butt as he tried to carry in two 24-packs of beer. David didn't move an inch, but Sarah's full attention went to what was happening. Once Dan turned his back, she just smiled and shook her head.
"Stocking up for a big one, are you, Dan?"
Sarah asked after he had closed the door. Dan just looked down at his hands and smiled.
"Something like that,"
he muttered while shuffling past them to the kitchen. The sound of beer cans being placed on the fridge shelves fluttered in from the other room. Sarah just lowered her head and began to laugh.
"Come back when you're done putting them in the fridge,"
Sarah called out over her shoulder. Shortly after, Dan filtered back into the room with a beer for Sarah and himself.
"Thanks, Dan,"
Sarah said as she opened the beer and took a swig. Dan gave her a quick nod and began to build a fire in the fireplace. David tried to sneak Sarah's beer away from her, but she swatted him away at the last minute.
"Okay, we need to get started. You spent too much time with our thumbs up our asses,"
Sarah stated while opening a manila folder. Dan finished lighting the fire and turned around, still sitting on the stone lip.
"Speak for yourself, man,"
David replied, making Dan chuckle. Sarah rolled her eyes and gave the guys a death glare.
"Ugh, I forgot you guys were childish,"
Sarah groaned, pulling out the contents of the manila folder.
"Being the doctor for the wealthy has its perks now and then,"
Sarah claimed, laughing half-heartedly. She handed David some photos.
"Take a look at these."
"Where the hell did you get these, Sarah?"
David asked, holding the picture up to see it in the firelight. Sarah went to snatch it out of his hands, but David pulled it away at the last second.
"How the hell did you get recon photos?"
Dan asked, craning his head to get a good look at them. Snatching the pictures back from David, Sarah put them down on the table for all to see.
"I already told you. Being the doc for the rich and famous earns you a few favors.
This just counts as one of them,"
Sarah responded, spreading the photos out on the table.
"Here are the Nelson's Ledges. That's the quarry park. What else do you guys see?"
she asked, leaning out of the way.
"I can't really tell what that is. It's covered by the trees,"
Dan stated, sipping on his beer.
"How about this one?"
Sarah played with an excited smile on her face. Dan picked up the next photo and studied it for several minutes. He seemed to scan every square inch of the photo before he said anything. The tension built in the room.
"Well, fuck me sideways,"
Dan laughed as he put the photo down and pulled out his cigs. Laughing as he lit it, Dan began to cough.
"Breathe, Kemosabe!"
David shouted, dragging the picture out of Dan's hands. He took a good long look at it and began to chuckle. The photo contained the same geographic features, location, etc., only this time zoomed in a lot further. The original picture had shown a snow-covered landscape. This photo, however, showed a building whose roof was designed to blend in. It was like something that you would see in a Wile E. Coyote cartoon. Private Steele was with a team of 10 men. They spread apart 30 yards as they combed the frozen landscape. He had no idea why Lieutenant Evans forced the team to search the immediate area around the compound, but he had his orders and he followed them.
"This is fucking bullshit!"
Steele shouted, pulling his goggles up.
"Steele, shut the hell up!"
one of the SWAT team members whispered in a strained voice.
"No, this is fucking bullshit! Ellis isn't gonna be within a mile of the compound. You guys saw what the guy did to the goddamn door. With that type of strength, the man would have gone 5 miles easy before showing any sign of slowing. We should be checking fucking Hiram, not the goddamn boondocks,"
Steele yelled, walking towards the road.
"Steele, shut the hell up!"
the man shouted back, training his gun on Steele, who was still trekking into the clearing.
"Buck off! I'm gonna go ask this guy if he's seen the man,"
Steele called back, flipping the man the bird. Without looking, Steele stepped into the road, right into the path of an oncoming semi-truck. Steele's body got dragged up over the crest of the hill and then scattered from there on. His foot was severed at the spot and blood splattered into the snow, glinting dark red in the sunlight. The guys on the SWAT team just stood in shock. Finally, the captain of the team pulled out his radio and contacted the lieutenant about the situation.
"This is fucking bullshit!"
a voice called from outside. David, Dan, and Sarah all stared at each other. The only sounds audible were the flickering of the flames and David's heavy breathing. They didn't speak. All three of them thought they were losing their minds. Finally, Sarah spoke up.
"Did you guys hear that?"
she whispered, starting to get up.
"No, this is fucking bullshit!"
the voice called out again.
"Fuck! Get David into the guest room and I'll grab the med shit and hide it,"
Dan whispered as he scrambled into action. Sarah pulled David up off the couch and guided him through the cabin to the guest room. He sat down on the bed and Sarah closed the door behind him.
"Fuck off!"
the voice cried, getting closer. From right outside the door, Sarah heard a shotgun shell hit the ground and Dan cursed.
"What the fuck are you doing, Dan? Hide!"
Sarah scolded from behind the door.
"Shut up and hide. I got this,"
Dan yelled and cocked the gun. Sarah ran over to David and pulled him into the corner. Sarah started to cry and pulled David closer.
"Oh, hello,"
David whispered, hugging Sarah. She chuckled and wiped away her tears. David smiled and closed his eyes. Together, they sat there, waiting for the end to come.
"Lieutenant Evans, this is Captain Maddox of the SWAT team. Do you copy?"
Maddox spoke into the radio and waited for a response. Several minutes passed and there was no reply. He called again, and this time the lieutenant responded.
"Yes, I hear you, Captain. What's the situation up there?"
Evans responded, sounding reluctant to talk. Maddox kicked at Steele's foot with the toe of his boot.
"It's your liaison, Private Steele. He's been KIA, sir."
"What? How? Was there a firefight? Please tell me he went out doing something badass and wasn't being a whiny bitch,"
Evans inquired. He was pissed. Maddox could hear it in his voice, but something was wrong. He wasn't pissed that the man had died. He was pissed that he went out like an idiot. This man seemed to have no value of his men's lives.
"Well, sir, that's just the thing. He wouldn't follow orders and was going to make contact with one of the locals on the corner of 282 and 305. It would have blown our cover. I was going to shoot him, but he..."
Maddox trailed off in mid-sentence, still poking at the foot with his boot.
"He what, Captain Maddox? What happened?"
Evans demanded. "He walked in front of a semi-truck and now lies scattered on the road for about, I'd say half a mile. I'm kicking his foot at the moment, sir," Maddox said and began to walk back towards the other 9 members of the squad. To his astonishment, Evans just laughed hysterically for a minute and returned to his normal tone.
"What a fucking moron. Thanks for letting me know, though. Anything else happen?"
Evans pressed, eager to get done with the conversation. Maddox felt uneasy about the safety of his men after hearing that burst of maniacal laughter.
"Should we make contact or return to base?" The resident may have some important information. Please advise.
Good question. Talk to the man and see if he's seen the subject. If not, return to base. Over and out.
This concludes episode 6 of Internal Bleeding. I hope you have enjoyed the story so far, and please pass along to your friends if you think that they will like it. Until next time, I'm Corbin Hilty.